Welcome to the Dream Job System, the only podcast that provides proven, tangible strategies to help you land a job you love without traditional experience and without applying online. Get ready to level up your job search with your host, Austin Belsack.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dream Job System podcast. I'm your host, Austin Belsack, and today we're going to talk about four ways that failure helped skyrocket my career. So there's a couple of reasons that I want to talk about failure. The first is simply the misunderstanding that the media has created around the word. And I think we read a Forbes article, we read a Business Insider article about these, quote, overnight phenoms, right? It could be an athlete, or it could be a business person, or it could be, you know, somebody in the arts. And they talk about this meteoric rise, and sometimes they talk about the work that went into it, but it's mostly positive. You know, they locked themselves in the closet and grinded away on this album, or, you know, they stayed in the gym an extra 4 hours and shot these free throws. But what they don't necessarily talk about is the failures. You know, what went wrong in order for this to go right? And that's something that's called the iceberg effect. So if we think about an iceberg in the ocean, that little tip that sticks out above the water is only about 10% of the total iceberg size. And that's the same for success. You know, we tend to see that 10%, the tip of the iceberg, but what we don't see is the 90% that went into it, the failure, the sadness, the rejection, the mistakes, the wins, and the iterations and the progress. We tend to not see that. We only see the finished product. And then on top of that, the reason why I think that's important to touch on and share is because through the thousands and thousands of conversations I've had with job seekers all over the place, this fear of failure tends to be paralyzing. You know, I talk to a lot of people who aren't sure what they want to do, or they're not sure where to invest their talents, or they have multiple paths that they could take. And this fear of failure, or fear of wasting time and doing the wrong thing, it's crippling. It ends up causing them to keep overanalyzing and not take action. And in my experience, having been somebody who has an action bias and tends to not necessarily always think things through before I just jump in and do them, that's actually served me really well, because it's forced me to just go out there and do stuff and not necessarily worry about, am I wasting time? Is this going to fail? Instead, I just get started. But not everybody has that mindset. And so I think that there's the right balance, right? We don't just want to say yes to everything and jump into it. But at the same time, if we are overanalyzing and we don't have realistic expectations for the path to success, we're bound to be disappointed. We're bound to take a hit in our self-esteem and the way we feel about ourselves. And that impacts outcomes. So with that said, I want to share a little bit about my journey, specifically four different ways that I completely and totally failed, which led to the success of working at Microsoft and building Cultivated Culture. So thing number one happened way back early in college. I think it was about sophomore year. And I was really into music in college. I spent pretty much every waking moment listening to some album, some song, some playlist. I was going on all these independent music blogs, and I was, you know, listening to the tracks that they were putting out there. And this was really the golden age for those independent music blogs. There were tons of them popping up. They were sharing great music. And I thought, well, why couldn't I do this? So towards, I think it was the end of sophomore year, I think spring of that year, I ended up setting up my own music blog. And I just started writing about the music that I was finding. And it was a total flop by every definition of success that we use. I think it got a few hundred visitors at most across the couple years that it was going on. So, you know, maybe a couple or a handful a month. A lot of those were friends and family, or just people in my circle, not necessarily like traffic coming to the site. And it didn't go anywhere. There was no real future in it. But it taught me how to build a website from scratch. And I didn't have a budget. I couldn't outsource anything. I had to figure this all out myself. So that was a great learning experience. And then the one highlight that did come out of it was right when the Chainsmokers were starting. Like, this was before anybody had ever heard of them. Their manager actually reached out to me a couple times to promote some of their early remixes, which is kind of a fun story now, given that they probably would like scoff at the blog that I had created. But nonetheless, that was pretty cool. But the real silver lining was learning to build a website. And then later on that summer, I took a business boot camp, and I'd always had the entrepreneurial itch, and this boot camp sort of galvanized that a little bit. You know, they taught us about accounting and the four P's of marketing and managing your finances and all, you know, the traditional business stuff. And so I felt like I could really take that and apply it. I felt, you know, really inspired to do something. So I ended up creating an apparel company. I was really, really big into fishing back in college, and I would go fishing, you know, a couple times a week. I would drag my buddies out there. I was reading fishing magazines. I was, you know, super, super into it. And I felt like the apparel was just goofy looking. Like, it was baggy. It didn't have all the stuff that you necessarily needed, and it wasn't set up the right way. So I figured, you know, we could make a better version of this that people would actually want to wear, that people actually look good in. And so I went out there and I sourced some freelancers, and I started talking to them about designing these clothes, right? Because there's a lot that goes into a piece of clothing that we don't necessarily think about. You know, first we need the conceptual design. What is this going to look like? And then we need somebody to actually create, you know, the CAD drawing or the actual design for the manufacturer, because a lot of our clothing is, there's different panels and they're stitched together. And so how do these panels look when they're just panels and they're not, you know, a piece of your jean pant or, you know, the cuff on your shirt? So I worked with a number of freelancers, and that venture ended up totally tanking. We invested some money into the design creation process, but I lost interest very, very quickly a couple of months later, and it never went anywhere. That said, I got this amazing experience working with these freelancers. I learned how to go find them and how to vet them and how to interact with them and how to get the results we wanted. And we had a few bad experiences, and that was a learning experience as well. And so I got to take that stuff with me into the next venture. And so if we fast forward a little bit to graduation, you know, as many of you know, I was making this transition from healthcare to tech, and I needed to get some experience to be able to do that. So I started freelancing. And when I started, I was awful. You know, I probably sent close to 1,000 cold emails to businesses, and I didn't get anything back. And I couldn't understand why these businesses didn't want to engage with me. You know, I thought my price was pretty good. I thought the offer was compelling. And looking back, there were just so many things I did wrong throughout the process. But that was a complete and utter failure. You know, close to 1,000 emails, zero clients. I had to tweak my process, and I had to find other ways in the door, which eventually netted me some of these clients. But it was a really frustrating period of about 6 months where absolutely nothing happened and nothing was coming through for me. But that stuff did eventually work, and that got me to New York. You know, the combination of the work that I did there and some of the classes I was taking got me into a job in New York. And at that time, I had an idea for an app, which I think we've all probably had at some point in our lives. So as a 22-year-old in New York, you know, my biggest problem was not being able to know when and where people were going out. So, you know, on Friday, the time would roll around, you know, 2 p.m., 3 p.m., you start texting all of your friends, and there's 10 threads going on at once, and nobody's committing to anything. And it's just a really roundabout, frustrating process. You just want to hang out and go have fun. So I thought, well, what if we created an app where people could essentially raise their hand if they were going out, and they could invite each other to different events, and you could essentially see what's going on, where people are at throughout the night. So I thought this was a great idea. And I went and found a mobile app developer who actually worked at my university that I graduated from. And I hired him. So I was going to pay him a couple $1,000 to build this prototype. And I thought it was just as simple as, hey, here's what I want to build. And they go build it. But it turns out you have to create things like wireframes and prototypes. And I'd never done that. So actually, the first wireframe I ever created, I went to Michael's on Sixth Avenue, and I got this big drawing canvas, and I bought some pencils. And then I went up to the Ace Hotel in New York on, I think it's 27th and Broadway. And I just sat there, and I brought my ruler, and I drew out essentially the screens of the computer. And I drew this thing in pencil by hand. And then I took pictures of it with my phone, and I sent it to the developer. And so we started working on this. And just before we were ready to finish up the prototype, three other apps came out that were venture-backed and did the exact same thing. So I knew I couldn't compete with venture-backed companies that had teams and more experience and money and all this other stuff. So I ended up dropping that, and I had to eat the cost of the app. But again, I learned so many things by going through that process. So if we fast forward to where we are now, or even a little before that, let's go to the start of Cultivated Culture. You know, I get my job at Microsoft in October 2015, and all of a sudden, all these people are coming out of the woodwork asking me, Austin, how'd you do this? How'd you get this job? And again, I've always had that entrepreneurial itch. So I finally saw an opportunity here to create something that I could build an audience around and potentially build a business around. And so I didn't need to go out and hire somebody to create my website because I had already done that when I built my music blog. And actually some of the freelancing work I did was centered around creating websites for specific clients. And that was also off the back of my music blog. So I'd already learned how to do that and I could set this thing up for free. And then as things go, you know, you eventually run into some errors, right? So I needed to go hire some developers to make some very small tweaks. You know, I didn't have a lot of money, but I knew how to find the right people. I knew how to find them at a good price. And I knew how to work with them effectively from that time that I created the apparel company and had to source those freelancers and work with them. And then as we're growing, you know, I needed to find ways to get in the door with people who were getting tons and tons of requests. So I was actually leveraging strategies that I learned from my freelancing days to get in the door with some of these blogs, these publishers, these influential people who were then sharing my articles and getting traffic to the site. And then as the company grew, we started creating these tools. So, you know, I talk a lot about ResiMatch and our resume builder and MailScoop. And I created those tools using the same exact skills that I learned when I created that mobile app. You know, I created these wireframes myself. I knew exactly how to visualize the product and exactly what to call out, you know, the functionality of different buttons and the proportions and everything to make it as easy as possible for the developer to implement without a lot of back and forth and without racking up billable hours. So the whole reason that Cultivated Culture exists is because of the experiences that I had, which at the time seemed like total failures. You know, we do something like create a blog and nobody visits it and we think, this is awful. You know, why did I even start doing this? Or we talk to people about this business idea we have. Hey, I'm going to create a fishing apparel company. And, you know, people are sort of maybe excited for you, maybe not. But then you have to go tell those same people, oh, yeah, that didn't work out. And that feels pretty crappy as well. But I think the most important thing to realize here is that all these experiences build on themselves. And I believe Malcolm Gladwell and a couple other people, Seth Godin has this terminology as well, but they call this practice. And sometimes you're not sure what you're practicing for. You don't know what you're practicing for. But just by getting out there and having a broad range of experience, you are going to create this holistic skill set that is going to be super applicable wherever you want to go. You know, the other day I wrote a post on LinkedIn talking about how if you want to be basically at the top 1% of the game, you essentially need to learn sales and marketing no matter what you're doing. And so when we think about that, you know, the best surgeons or the best artists in terms of being able to make a living off of their art, they know how to sell and market themselves. Same with the surgeons and the doctors. And so it's the people who are exposing themselves to other disciplines and finding ways to work those disciplines into what they're doing. Those are the people who end up truly being successful. But in order to figure out what is going to be worthwhile and what isn't, and in order to expand that skill set, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to try things that don't work. And that's okay. That's part of the process. But you're much better off trying a bunch of stuff. You're much better off trying 10 things and failing at 9 of them and finding one that works than not trying anything at all, right? One is much, 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 much better than zero or none. And that's a pretty conservative estimate. You know, the more things you try, the better you'll get at identifying the things that work and the things that don't quickly, and you can build off of that. So instead of being paralyzed by the fear of failure, instead of worrying about which path to go down, instead, dip your toe in the water, try these different things. If something is interesting to you, take a course, read a book, try to create a project around it. And if you do that, even if it, quote, fails in the moment, those lessons, that experience, those skills, they are going to come in handy down the road. It may be tomorrow, it may be a year from now, it may be 5 years from now. But I promise you, the more experience and the more projects and the more skills that you get under your belt, the more successful you're going to be down the road. So that's it for today. I hope this was helpful. And if you all are enjoying what you're hearing, if you like the advice, we always appreciate a review and a rating in iTunes. Those reviews, those ratings, they help boost us up the charts. They help other people find us and help them get this advice. So if you have a few seconds and you don't mind even just clicking a couple of stars, however many you feel is warranted, and hitting submit, you don't even need to write anything. Those are always appreciated. But either way, we appreciate you listening and we'll see you on the next episode of the Dream Job System podcast.